Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, March 7th, 2014. Hope you had a great week and are looking forward to a lovely weekend. How can you beat this? Temperatures in the mid-70s. Yes, it's been the warmest winter on record. As long as that doesn't translate to the other end of the equation, the warmest summer on record, we'll be very happy. We are live here weekdays 12:04 to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We're streaming the show and podcasting it, so you can listen anywhere, anytime at buckmastershow.com. And our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, and BlogForArizona.com. We thank all of them for their support of our program, and there's a link on all of their websites to our website. The Friday Focus interview this afternoon, Chuck Huckleberry is here. Mr. Huckleberry is the Pima County Administrator. With me to question Mr. Huckleberry is Mark Evans. Mark is editor of Inside Tucson Business. If you have a question or comment for Chuck Huckleberry here on the Buckmaster Show, the live line is 790-2040. Mr. Huckleberry will entertain your questions or comments, no matter what you have to say, as long as it's within reason, I guess, but he is more than welcome your comments. We invite you to be a friend of the show. Over 3,100 friends of the Buckmaster Show, and we're easy to find on Facebook, just my name, and that will get you there. Mr. Huckleberry, how are you?
Just fine, Bill. Good afternoon.
Good to see you. And Mark, how are you? How's your week been, Mark?
It's been swell.
Is it really? All right. Let's get right to it. District 1 Republican Supervisor Allie Miller claimed Mr. Huckleberry to be, she claims to be a victim of political reprisal when the other four board members took away nearly $900,000 of road repair money that was slated for her district. She says now she's left with nothing. She has no repair money for District 1.
Well, Bill, that's not accurate. There's a very large portion of the Department of Transportation's budget allocated to maintain all the streets and highways in District 1. In fact, the board has asked that we review with them how much money is spent in each district for road maintenance. And we're about, I'd say, 90% through that process. And what we can tell you is that the Department of Transportation's budget is about $41 million a year, and our payment on HERF debt is about $16 million a year. So you add those two together, you get $57 million a year spent on transportation, maintenance and repair, and building and capacity. Of that total, about 40% is spent in District 1. Now, District 1 has the highest percentage of unincorporated area residents, so you would naturally see that. But that money is still being spent in District 1 and will continue to be spent in District 1 to maintain and operate and build their highways.
So you're saying that 4 out of every $10 of this Pima County Transportation Department money is slated for District 1?
Yes, it has been spent in District 1, will be spent in District 1, and will continue to be spent in District 1.
Mark Evans.
So one of the things that Supervisor Miller has been going on about is the condition of roads. They're horrible in the city. They're bad in the county. I think you guys got between $200 million or $300 million worth of road deficit, where you've got either failed roads or near failed roads. So putting aside Supervisor Miller's erratic behavior and paranoid rhetoric, she is making a good point, though, I think, or a point that should be discussed, that out of a $500 million general fund, there's possibly the opportunity to maybe reprioritize some funding within that budget over and above the $5 million in the small tax increase you guys passed this year, to do something about it. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I think that's possible, but that's a board decision, meaning that the Board of Supervisors, one of their primary jobs and missions is to actually adopt an annual budget and make those difficult decisions with regard to how they're going to spend the money that is received through either property taxes or state shared revenues from the state, and they do that each year. And so I'm sure that's a topic that'll come up again this year. Whether or not we allocate more money is going to be up to the board, And I could. It's also a difficult decision. I have said we're behind, but the maintenance is one area that has been the last to be addressed with regard to transportation investment. If you think of the 1997 bond issue, it was all about building capacity in our system, widening roads. As late as 2006 is when we had the RTA election. The subject of road repair never came up. That RTA election is for new capacity. Yes, since the legislature started the acute diversion of funds in 2007, our roads have gotten worse and the county has a $270 million problem. And we have to face up to that problem and we're going to have to figure out how to solve it. But it doesn't mean we've neglected the highway system in the past. We haven't. We've put the money where the voters gave us the priority direction to do so.
So you're in the budget process right now. You have to have your budget done by June. What's your recommendation going to be to the board to do about this the deficit?
Well, I think my recommendation is going to be twofold. One, we'll continue the stopgap measures, which is the $5 million appropriation out of the general fund. And I think we have to be careful about appropriating a lot of money out of the general fund because it's all tax-based. And what happens is that we're using taxpayers' money inside the city of Tucson to maintain roads in the unincorporated area, and that's really probably not that fair. You can do it a little bit, but I think you have to be careful about doing it substantially. I continue to favor a user fee increase, either a gas tax or a vehicle license tax or something related to transportation that really is more of a directly related to streets and highways. And so until we face up to that reality, I think this problem is going to be a prolonged problem for the near future.
It is curious, and I've heard this before, that during all of the public meetings with the RTA in 2006, you're right, potholes never came up. How could roads have deteriorated so quickly in that period? Well, go ahead.
I think there are two things. I think we've actually done a fairly good job of building new highways and widening roads in the unincorporated area where the demand's been the greatest and the need's been the most. River Road, First Avenue, Ina Road, Sunrise, all of those roads have been effectively rebuilt and widened in the last 20 years. And that I don't think there's a great amount of focus on local streets and potholes because, while they're in front of everybody's house and everybody gets concerned about the condition of the street in front of their house, it is not a safety issue. It's not a capacity issue of backing traffic up or, having a dangerous situation. So I think what has happened to us and I think the city of Tucson and others is that we're probably keeping up with the problem as late as 2006 because that's why we never mm-hmm. heard about it mm-hmm. in the RTA discussion. Mm-hmm. As the moment those sweeps from the state legislature took every dime we had and took it out of maintenance, you can do that for 3 or 4 years and you begin to see what's happened. We have this acute problem that everyone now is aware of. And it simply, I think, came to light, and it's now the issue that, we can't ignore it. It's there. It's real. And so we're going to have to figure out how to address it.
The Tucson Mayor Jonathan Rothschild is kicking the tires on an idea for a reauthorization vote on the RTA, having an early vote rather than it's, 10 years before its 20-year expiration in 2026. and some of that he's thinking we would then put some money into of that half-cent sales tax or 1 cent sales tax into this road maintenance issue. What do you think about that idea about reopening that can of worms 10 years before it's expired?
I think it's a little too early because I think what we really have to do is demonstrate to the voters that we've kept our promises, that every project that's on that RTA list is going to get done. I think we need to build that credibility before we go back out for another half-cent sales tax. Likely that will be an issue because obviously the RTA and its election responds to the demand for services that are voiced by the public and the voters. And therefore, if this road maintenance problem continues to be an issue for the next 5 to 10 years, I would be surprised if it was not a big component in a future RTA election.
All right, we're going to go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. I believe we have Richard is with us, would like to speak with Chuck Huckleberry. Go ahead, Richard. Hi, Richard. Go ahead.
Chuck, I wanted to ask you, the medians on Oracle Road between River and Ina, have always looked really bad, and I know there's probably no money, but, man, we sure could use getting those landscaped and looking good. You know, it's like a three-mile drive. It's heavily traveled every day. It's part of our curb appeal in town, or lack thereof. Any plans for those mediums between River and Ina on Oracle?
Richard, what you found is the classic silo, who does what. Oracle Highway is a state highway and not maintained by the county, so it's really an issue for the state. I can't agree with you more. I think what we all need to do is, in an urban area like this, the typical person who drives those streets really does not care and should not care whether it's a state highway maintained, county highway, or city highway. And it's an issue that we need to try and get a handle on. And we're becoming more and more proactive at talking to the state about meeting their responsibilities in an urban area. And we're going to work on it. But the short answer is you found all this classical division of who does what in government, and it sometimes works to the detriment of the normal taxpayer and citizen.
12:15 now on the Buckmaster Show. This would be a good time to take our first break. We'll be back with Mark Evans from Inside Tucson Business and Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. If you have a question or comment concerning anything in the county, it doesn't have to be road-related, but that has been our topic so far. 790-2040, give us a call.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. You know, sometimes circumstances come up that require immediate attention. Here's what took place.
Hi, I'm Don Pooley, former PGA Tour player. When the University City Church was ravaged by fire this past November, we knew just who to call for help. Ken Flower and the event team at Arizona Party Rental. As you might imagine, we were scrambling because we needed an immediate solution where hundreds of our church members could meet. Arizona Party Rental was very responsive. They quickly built a large tent, added chairs, a stage, and even heaters so that we didn't miss a Sunday service. We were able to use their rental equipment for several weeks until we found a more permanent church location. All of us at U City Church are very grateful to Arizona Party Rental for coming to our rescue when it mattered most.
Hey Don, thanks a lot. I'm glad we were there to help out. Arizona Party Rental on Speedway just west of Alvernon, or online at arizonapartyrental.net. Quality products, exceptional selection, and outstanding service.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Whether you shower, clean, or drink it, you will come in contact with water every day. So the question is, how often do you think about what's in your water, and how is your water affecting you and your loved ones? The fact is, there are likely contaminants in your water that will have an effect on the taste and smell of the water, not to mention why water is chlorinated. The good news is that Culligan has a solution. The Culligan AC30 reverse osmosis drinking water system is the powerful solution for filtering out impurities that affect your water. This state-of-the-art solution reduces chlorine and other contaminants that affect the taste and smell of your water. Of course, some contaminants may not be in your water. Why not take your drinking water to the next level with a Culligan drinking water system for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months' service on an annual rental agreement? Call 792-9700 for details. That's 792-9700, or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. And joining me to question Mr. Huckleberry is Mark Evans, editor of Inside Tucson Business. Pima County has moved to protect jobs at Raytheon by actually allowing for the relocation of a four-mile stretch of road half-mile to the south of the current Raytheon operation from the Nogales Highway to Al Vernon Way. Is this something, Mr. Huckleberry, that Raytheon has wanted for years?
My first conversations with Raytheon executives started in 2006, and they've wanted relocation of the roadway since that time. And every time that I would meet with them, the same issue would come up, is that that public highway, because it is a public highway, actually encroaches on their operations and effectively prevents their expansion. So it was very, very important to Raytheon to actually get this constraint removed from their operations so they wouldn't have to go to the United States Air Force and get waivers to assemble the products that they actually produce and sell to the United States Department of Defense.
Here's Mark Evans.
So a part of that move was when this was first broached a couple of years ago, you also suggested a $200 million roads bond that would create kind of an aerospace corridor there. Whatever happened to that?
Well, it's still going to be considered by the Bond Advisory Committee, and it probably will be scaled down somewhat, but the concept is still there, is to create a high-speed transportation corridor connecting Interstate 10 and Interstate 19, and it really connects some of the biggest and largest what we call manufacturing employers within the community. The Science and Tech Park connects it to the airport environs where we have Raytheon and many other aerospace contractors. So it's still viable. It's actually going to be heard by the Bond Advisory Committee in May of this year.
So there's talk, it's really much stronger talk now, that the A-10 looks like it's heading for the Boneyard, which changes the mission at Davis-Monthan. So two questions. What do you think the future of DM is, and is there anything the county can do to encourage the Air Force to find another mission for DM? And what impact could that have potentially on the aerospace corridor that we're talking about?
DM is a very, very important component of our local economy. It's been around, and it's in this form or some form since 1927. First became a military base operation in 1940 and been training pilots and accomplishing military missions ever since. We hope it's here for a few more generations. It has ideal flying weather, access to the Barry Goldwater Gunnery Range, and very strong community support. I think we're going to be demonstrating that community support as early as Tuesday when we're on the board's agenda. Beginning at 10 a.m. will be a resolution the board will consider supporting DM, supporting the extension of the A-10 mission, and stating that the board supports any flying missions, expansion of flying missions, that could occur at Davis-Monthan.
the bond election. There will be a bond issue on the ballot concerning animal welfare.
Yes, there will. The Board of Health, our Animal Care Advisory Committee, and now the Bond Advisory Committee has met and considered and will be recommending to the board on March the 18th that $22 million be placed on a bond question for the November 14 ballot to rebuild and expand the Animal Care Center on Silver Bell Road. It's pretty much been a unanimous decision on all of those advisory committee parts so far. It's going to get to the board, and we'll let the board will be the final decider as to whether or not that goes on the ballot. I would guess at this point in time it's pretty, you know, never can predict an outcome, but I think it's being looked on favorably by the board.
Here's Mark again.
So the county recently changed its policy to try and keep dogs as long as they possibly can, as long as they're healthy. And then now there's also this push from shelter advocates to have the county's animal care center be a total no-kill shelter, which is a pretty big policy change because it could really raise the expenses of that animal care. But it seems like it needs to have a mirror effect. You need to have stronger programs to reduce the amount of unwanted animals so that you don't, you know, you're not just spending yourself into oblivion because you've got so many animals going into that center and not enough going out. So what is the county's intent once it does, if the voters approve it, which everyone thinks they will, the expansion of the center to try and curb the amount of animals that are having to be taken in there?
The long-term solution to this is significant investment in spay-neuter programs and education of the public who are animal owners, who we need to stress to them the importance of spay-neuter. And that is the long-term solution to the problem. One of the things this new center will have is a very effective and efficient spay-neuter facilities so that we can actually do more of those on site. But I think the long-term solution is not building, you know, bigger and bigger animal shelters. It's really installing an effective spay-neuter program, public education, and having a reasonable position with no-kill. I don't think we'll ever get to no-kill, but I think we can achieve, hopefully, about a 90% live release rate back into the community.
And it has gone up. The live release rate has gone up considerably. I think there's almost been a 10% increase.
Yes.
In just over the last year or so. Let's go now back to the Buckmaster Show live line. We have Gloria with us. Gloria, you are with Chuck Huckleberry.
Hi, Mr. Huckleberry. When I worked for Joel Valdez, he always spoke so highly of you. And I'm wondering, two questions. One is, what is your collaboration with Mr. Miranda? What is that like? And is the county considering the Cesar Chavez holiday?
Yes, I collaborate quite well with Mr. Miranda. We see each other often and commiserate with each other with regard to our problems.
You've known him a long time.
Known him a long time and known him when he was police chief and even before that. So, in fact, his father worked in the Department of Transportation when I was a director. So we go back a very long time and I have the greatest amount of respect for him. With regard to Cesar Chavez, the county does have a Cesar Chavez holiday. It's what we call in our terms and in the county's terms a floating holiday, because any holiday the county gives, we can only give it if we have permission from the Arizona legislature. And so our floating holiday is the employee gets to take the time off, but we do it such that we stagger the employees and what day they can take off to keep the offices open.
Yeah, the county is really tied to the state. A lot of people forget that, don't they?
The county's tied. The county wanted a Martin Luther King.
Chartered to the state.
Yeah, we wanted a Martin Luther King holiday long before it was in the state. But, you know, we can only do what the state allows us to do.
Okay, I've only got a few seconds left, so I want to ask you about the future at Arito. Is this going to be the last racing session there, or what's your gauge on that?
No, I think horse racing can continue at Arito, at least in my view, until probably 2018. Any future modifications to Arito really depends on another successful bond issue where voters complete the transition from a racing facility to a soccer tournament facility. And I think we're also open to any options and any ideas anybody has to make it more of a joint use facility. The problem is the grandstands sit so far back from the infield, you really can't make joint use. Now, the grandstands are obsolete. Ultimately, they need to be replaced. They don't meet any American with Disability Act standards. And so if someone were to come and say, well, let's rebuild the grandstands and put them on the edge of the racetrack so it can be joint use as a soccer tournament, I think we'd be absolutely open to that. So, mm-hmm. So I think, but in the short term, I think we're going to see horse racing at Rito for another 4 to 5 years.
Okay, Mr. Huckleberry. Chuck Huckleberry, thank you very much. Hope you have a great weekend. Going to be a nice weekend out there.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. And Mark, stick around. We'll have our Reporters Roundtable coming up next on The Buckmaster Show.
Do you want to learn how to live healthier for your stage of life?
Then make plans to attend the Ages and Stages Active Adult Lifestyle Expo on March 8th at Casino del Sol.
Discover new ways to enrich your daily life. Stay healthier and be informed and engaged for the different life stages from midlife and beyond.
The Pima Council on Aging Ages and Stages Expo features 150 local exhibitors, a wide range of fun activities, food, demonstrations, seminars, prizes, and live musical entertainment.
The Ages and Stages Expo is free for adults of all ages, March 8th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Casino del Sol. Event proceeds benefit Pima Council on Aging. For more info, visit pcoa.org. Presented in part by Arizona Daily Star, Assurance Healthcare, TEP, and this station.
If aging isn't your issue now, it soon will be. So attend the PCOA Ages and Stages Active Adult Lifestyle Expo, March 8th at Casino del Sol.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerville Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient, it can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay, okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Offer ends 4/30/14. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on Cox Business Internet 150 megabits per second service versus basic 1.5 DSL. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold, and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:35 on this fine Friday afternoon. It's time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable, when we ask local journalists to join me to talk about some of the week's top stories. And this week, we have, of course, Mark B, like Boy Evans, editor of Inside Tucson Business, and Dan Scheer now has joined us. Dan is editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. If you hear anything that you would like to comment on at any time during the roundtable, the live line is always open for you, 790-2040. We've already welcomed Mark to the show. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. Good interview with Chuck.
Thank you very much. Tell me a little bit, what is the latest now on Rosemont, perhaps being sold to a company out of Toronto, I believe, called HudBay.
Right.
I think it probably stands for Hudson Bay, something like that.
Correct. But, yeah. HudBay has an offer out there for Augusta Resource stock, and people are calling it a hostile takeover. That bid is good through March 19th. Augusta said in a conference call, this is just kind of to recap here, that it's too low, and they blasted HudBay in a conference call last week. And then HudBay responded by saying in an interview with a Canadian financial magazine that Augusta is basically on the verge of going under. So where is it now? Well, HudBay came to Sarita and Tucson just yesterday, and we spoke with them actually a couple of times on the phone before they got here, and asking a couple of key questions for our area, which are, if the sale goes through, are you going to stick to some of the agreements that are in place? For instance, Sarita Heights has well issues that Rosemont has taken care of. Will that convey? We have a $25 million water pipeline promise from them with Community Water Company down there. Does that convey? Would you mine on this side of the Santa Rita's? Things like that. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of getting some answers on that. Some of it is, well, gosh, we're not quite sure exactly what we're buying yet, which you know, you don't spend $500 million on something you're not quite sure of, which that was an odd answer. But I'll tell you this, the long and short of it after a couple of calls with them is that I think that HudBay either will up their offer or somehow work it out. I think that they're still in it, even though Rosemont has said there's almost no chance of this going through. It's not going to happen. So I will stick to what I've been saying actually on your show for 3 years, and that is Rosemont will not be mining that. I just don't think that that's going to happen.
Rosemont,
they are going to sell it off.
Rosemont will not be mining it, but will there be a mine to mine it, Mark Evans?
I think so. The Jaguar designation is an interesting
which came down this week.
Right. Yes. So the Fish and Wildlife Service has designated 1,100 square miles of Arizona and New Mexico as Jaguar designation. Now, the Fish and Wildlife Service that was in the middle of that Jaguar designation when it gave its opinion to the Forest Service as part of its consultation for the economic or environmental impact statement that is now currently under review by the regional forester in Albuquerque. And so the mine plan of operation as it's considered and what's been given to the Forest Service takes into consideration the Jaguar, and the Fish and Wildlife Service says the mine as it's currently planned would not have an effect on that habitat designation or the Jaguar. However, The Center for Biological Diversity and Defenders of Wildlife are very litigious. They got the jaguar designation through a lawsuit. They've been very successful in getting all kinds of environmental policy through the courts. So this would give them a club to use, if you will, once they do sue, which they have all that they have said they plan to sue if the mine is approved by the Forest Service. So it adds another bit of uncertainty to what the end game is here. My expectation is the Forest Service will give them the permit, as will the Army Corps of Engineers. And from there, let the lawsuits entail.
What do you think, Dan Scheer?
Well, I agree with Mark that it all comes down to lawsuits. The mine will happen. This would have a role in pushing Augusta Resource to sell the mine. If they are running out of money, they're not going to want to go through all these lawsuits, and Hudbay is most certainly in a position to be able to do that.
You know, I want to get back to the thing about the guarantees that Rosemont and Augusta have made to the community. With the new player, Hudbay, are those guarantees guaranteed? I mean, is there anything in writing or what?
The wells are in writing, but the question with Sarita Heights, and just to let people know, basically there's a straw under the land, under those homes, and it's sucking out the water. And if the wells go down to a certain level, Rosemont will redrill. They'll also fix their pumps, things like that. So it's really quite a good deal for the people of that area, and it was just to keep them happy because they're so directly affected. Does that agreement convey? I would certainly think so, but until I see it, I don't know. Now, the community water pipeline, $25 million for that. Well, can they mine without that pipeline? You know, that's the question.
Right. So, I mean, Rosemont is not making all of these agreements to generate for the sheer purpose of goodwill and PR. All of this is geared towards acquiring the things that they need to get the Forest Service to sign off on their economic impact statement, and Hudbay would be in the same boat. So I wouldn't think that Hudbay could come in and say, "Oh, well, we don't want all of this Green Valley water." They absolutely have to have it in order to get the offsets that they need in order to pump the groundwater that they need to run their mine operation. And so I would think that all of those agreements would be in place. Now, the intangible statement by Rosemont that we plan to be good environmental stewards, well, that's easily said, right? What it comes down to is, do they end up being good environmental stewards over the long term? Will Hudbay be a good environmental steward? You know, we won't know. And that's what I think has a lot of people concerned, is that you won't find out that they're damaging the environment until after they're doing it. And that's why you have to have good regulation through the Forest Service, which will be regulating the mine once it starts mining.
And back to Hudbay just briefly, one thing they told us was that in the past few years, people have been paying, companies have been paying way too much for mining operations. And so that's part of, I think, their approach to the negotiations, if there are any, with Augusta, is we just don't want to overpay. And meanwhile, Augusta's got an awful lot of money in Rosemont.
How about this new poll from a public policy polling, PPP, that John McCain is very unpopular with Republicans, Democrats, and independents alike, and now has become, in fact, the least popular senator in the United States? Well, that's according to this poll, that only 30% of Arizonans, Mark, approve of the job that John McCain is doing. 54% disapprove.
Yeah, public policy polling has had some interesting polls in the past that seem to be a little different than what the voters actually voted. But I wouldn't be surprised that John McCain would be the least popular senator in the Senate. He's we've been at war now for 14 years. We're a little tired of it as a country. The world's still a dangerous place, but he keeps beating the war drums. He's beating the war drums on Syria. He's beating the war drums on Iran. Now he's beating the war drums with Russia and the Crimea. And I don't think the country's has got the stomach for more fighting and more wars. I think they're more interested in seeing if we can accomplish something through diplomacy and shrinking the military and not spending $1 trillion a year and maybe spending some money on our veterans who have had to fight these wars over the last 14 years. So I wouldn't be surprised if those polling numbers turn out to be accurate.
And as far as Arizona goes, I think that we don't have the stomach for a senator who is not engaged, who will come out whenever he feels like it. He'll talk when he feels like it. When you contact him, you don't hear anything back. I came from the Arizona Republic 5 years ago. We had a very frustrating time with him. It's to a point where he pretty much stopped talking to the paper, at least when he wanted to. He would come and talk to you, but otherwise, you know, and he had risen to that level of a national and international figure even, where Arizona really just didn't matter so much anymore to him. So my problem with him is that he hasn't really been representing the state very
well. He acts like he's the senator of the Sunday talk shows, not the Sunday of the senator of Arizona.
Anyway, this just came in. The United States Department of Agriculture has now declared all of Arizona to be in a drought. This comes after the warmest temperatures on record here in Tucson. I said, I think last week, Mark, that I think this is, you know, it's been nice that we've had a great winter, but I think this is shaping up to be a huge story this year.
Yeah, the weather has been great, but the rain has been not.
It's been horrible.
And, you know, it's had an effect on Arizona cattle growers. They have been selling off their cattle herds because their water holes are dry. There's grass out there because we had a good summer and there was a lot of rain that created a lot of grass to get the cattle through the summer, through the winter, but there's no water. You're seeing record low levels of snowpack. You're seeing record low levels of water in the lakes around Phoenix and along the Colorado. I think if it doesn't rain soon or we don't get an early monsoon, it's going to be a rough May and June.
Very bad fire season if we don't get some rain.
Yeah, and I would agree with you, Bill, what you said earlier in the show, and that is I hope that a very warm winter doesn't mean a very warm summer.
Yes, that's right. Exactly what I said, and I certainly don't hope that means even a real very warm spring, because technically we are still in winter.
I am enjoying the lack of flowers and weeds because I do not have allergy trouble like I always do every March.
Dan, the move to dump Common Core was pushed by State Senator Al Melvin, gubernatorial candidate on the Republican side, one of six or seven, I think there's six, Republican gubernatorial candidates. It did not make it out of the Senate.
No, it didn't. And rather than look at this as another one of those crazy Arizona things, maybe we should look at what really that was driving all this, and that is, I think, some frustration with what's going on the national level and maybe some disagreement about what those core items are. As I've said before, my daughter is in her first year of teaching first grade, so I have looked at the education system very differently this past year than I ever have before because of what the teachers are up against, and she found it very surprising that this was going on in the state and glad that it didn't go through. But I think it does stem from some frustration, and as you know, there's certainly an ilk out there that's wanted to get rid of the Department of Education for a long time and just let the states handle it.
You know, in the business community has very in support of Common Core, and they what was interesting was SB 1062 was getting through the Senate and the House. The business community was there to fight against this attempt to abandon Common Core, and all their attention was on Common Core. Meanwhile, in another hearing room, you had SB 1062 going on, and they were distracted. After the successful fight against SB 1062, they were able then to return and refocus their opposition to this abandonment of Common Core, and they were successful at getting a couple of the Republicans who also peeled off on Medicaid last year to peel off on this and put an end to it. But there is a lot of concern and I think outright paranoia about Common Core in some conservative circles. I don't think this is the last we've heard of this, because it's the implementation of Common Core is going to take several years, and we still have to come up with an Ames replacement test, which we haven't come up with yet, and that has to go through the legislature. So this isn't the last we've heard of opposition to Common Core.
You know, we talked a little bit about SB 1062 and the governor's veto last week, and I think you said, Mark, that something like 8 out of 10 Arizonans who had been calling the governor's office wanted her to veto it. And there's a poll out now today saying that 3 out of 4 Arizonans support the right of gays to at least form civil unions, if not to wed outright.
Yeah, the speed of the normalization of homosexual relationships in the United States has been extraordinary. I mean, it's just in the past few years, we may get a Supreme Court decision in the next couple of years that would use the 14th Amendment to make Arizona's gay marriage ban illegal. You've had a couple of people who are about, I think, 8 couples now who have sued the state against its gay marriage ban, and you're seeing federal judges all across the country, including some very conservative states, strike down gay marriage bans. And I think we may see that happen in Arizona, but it's not going to be without a fight because it is something that the Christian community is horribly opposed to. And in Arizona, they have a lot of political power.
Quickly, Dan, you met with the new administrator of the hospital?
Yes. David Wanger is the CEO of Green Valley Hospital, and I was on site there Monday for about 3 hours, and they've got the basement in, and it's scheduled to open just about a year from now, and it's rolling. He's out there introducing himself to people in the community. He already has more than 60 people who've come forward and said they want to volunteer, which Green Valley's real big on that, and mm-hmm. So he's right now, because it's an independent hospital, he's putting together the medical team and everything else he needs.
And who's the operator there?
It's an independent one, so there isn't like a Carondelet or a Northwest.
Okay. And we'll have him on the show in the coming months.
Absolutely.
All right. Dan Scheer and Mark Evans, hope you both have a great weekend. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Please join us for our special program, Discovery Nights, during March at Biosphere 2. On selected Saturdays in March, Discovery Nights will offer extended hours with family-friendly stargazing and nighttime tours under the beautiful lights of the University of Arizona Biosphere 2. Also, new exhibit previews just being opened to the public for the first time.
Visit b2science.org for more information and come visit today.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 26 years as the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847.
That music, of course, signals here on the Buckmaster Show. The weekend has officially begun on this Friday afternoon. Weekend Watch is hosted by, well, first of all, it's sponsored by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, and hosted by Matt Russell. Of course, Silver City, just three and a half hours east of Tucson. Not a bad drive. And this time of year, as things really start to warm up, a little bit cooler up in the high country, and great places to stay in Silver City, and things to do like the world famous Gila Cliff Dwellings Monument, and of course historic downtown Silver City and all the great art galleries. Great places to stay like Ridge Park RV Park and Wildwood Retreat and Hot Springs. For the full list of places to stay and things to do, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Matt Russell, Inside Tucson business, food and beverage columnist, award-winning publicist, all-around foodie and nice guy. Matt, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Bill. And you know what? Every time our staff members here at Russell Public hear that music, they run for the door. They think the weekend has already started. Come back, guys. We still have work to do.
Yeah, because is officially declared as the Buckmaster Show, signaling the weekend. So, I mean, it is the time that we always love to look ahead to some fine dining and lots of fun. And why don't we begin with those that would like perhaps a brew with their dinner or lunch?
Yeah, you know, Bill, it's no surprise how much I love our local craft beer community here in Tucson. And I just heard that Sentinel Peak Brewing Company over there on Grant and Swan, they've just rolled out a new lunch menu to match up with their sensational suds, and some pretty thoughtful sandwiches, salads, and pastas are anchoring that new menu, including a succulent Reuben sandwich that seems to be attracting a lot of attention. Lunch is served Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at Sentinel Peak, and now is a great time to head over there. Now, if you want to take the rest of the day off, Bill, I'm happy to write you a note.
Well, that Reuben just seems, I picture it just dripping with flavor right now. It sounds really good.
Dripping indeed.
What's this women's expo that I heard that's going on at the TCC?
Yeah, it's the annual Body and Soul Women's Expo tomorrow and Sunday at the TCC, and along with a wide range of exhibitors who are going to be showcasing some pretty cool stuff, they're going to be featuring exciting things happening on the local food scene live from their kitchen stage. So you'll get a chance to see new and delicious things from Ars Raw Kitchen, Govinda's Natural Foods, Gourmet Girls Gluten-Free Bakery, and a host of other purveyors who are all a part of the action. Tickets are only $12 at the door, or if you have a valid TCC parking receipt, only $5. Bill, if it's good for the body and good for the soul, I will be there.
How about the Backyard Barbecue Sunday Brunch at the Hilton?
Absolutely. We've got barbecue madness at the Hilton on Sunday, slow-cooked and smoked meats like St. Louis ribs and beer brined chicken, even Sonoran dogs. Now, all of the traditional sides are going to be there available as well, as along with the standard pancakes, eggs, and omelets and such. I think the El Conquistador is a great barbecue brunch to celebrate this Sunday.
All right, Matt. We'll look for the column at Inside Tucson Business.
Thank you so much, Bill. Have a great weekend.
You too. Our bottled water here on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Thank you, Culligan, for the better water, pure and simple. That's really what it's all about. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. If you're a guest on the Buckmaster Show and you're here in studio with me, we are always proud to offer a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, my lovely and talented producer, Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend and urging you to listen to KVOI for all the expert talk over the weekend. And then Chris and Joe, Monday morning with Wake Up Tucson. Then Rose and I will be back with you at 12:04 Monday. We hope you have a great weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.